up our crosses, deny ourselves, and follow him. So without a cross, there is no true Christianity. Without a cross, there is no true fellowship with Jesus Christ, because what the cross does is keeps the supernatural close to us. The cross helps us to walk in the supernatural, okay? Without the cross, we just have a natural life. But with the cross, we have a supernatural life, because it is a life that we live by faith, and it is a life where we crucify our flesh. The only way to successfully not walk by sight is to crucify your flesh. Because if you keep your flesh alive, it's going to see things in the natural world and react to them in a natural way. So that is why it's important that we bear our cross. Why? What is the cross for? The cross is for the death of the flesh. The cross is for the supernatural life to take over. Because until Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again, then he was given power and authority and all glory. Until this flesh, who God has said that there is no good thing in, is crucified and put down, then the supernatural life cannot take root. Tonight's message is entitled, Trust and Obey. Trust and obey. Standing still and seeing the Lord's salvation. Trust and obey. Standing still and seeing the Lord's salvation. There is no way to trust and obey as long as this flesh is alive. Because as long as this flesh is alive and we are ruled by our mentality, our calculations, our fear, then there is no room for the supernatural. Because God doesn't operate in fear or with fear. Because he has said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But that does not come until after death. That is not to come until we are truly functioning in the Lord's power and will, when we are born again. My job as a pastor is to remind you constantly that you are not just flesh and blood. My job as a pastor is to constantly remind you what to do with this flesh and blood. Okay? This flesh and blood must be crucified. It must be put to death. It's the thing that keeps messing us up. It's the thing that we keep stumbling over. It's where fear lives. It's where doubt exists. It's where anger is. It's where all those things that the enemy desires, the fruit of the enemy, desires to come through us, our lives, and be transparent to others, only happens through this flesh. That is why true Christianity, truly following Jesus, takes a cross, and we've got to pick up our cross, deny ourselves. Say this with me. I must deny myself. Now, the myself is that fleshly life. The myself is that sin nature. That's the myself that must be denied for the supernatural to happen. Jesus Christ is supernatural. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is supernatural. And in order to live a supernatural life, we must carry the cross to put this flesh to death. There is no good thing in this flesh. All it is good for is the cross. That is where the God-powered life begins. You are man-powered as long as you don't bear a cross. But you are God-powered when you say, you know what? This part of me has got to die. But we are so used to having our own way, so used to having a voice, so used to having a say-so, but the Word of God says we must deny our say-so. We must deny ourselves. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 is going to start us off. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, and it says this, and Moses said unto the, here's the scene being set up. The children of Israel were fleeing, or actually they were let go at first. They were let go at first, okay, from the Egyptians. So they begin to flee. Then Egypt changes their mind, and they start to chase the people. Okay, so they're headed towards the Red Sea, all right? And this is what Moses is saying to them. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. It is very hard to stand still when you are operating in your natural life, when you're using your natural mind and perceiving things with your natural eyes, because all you see is what the doctor says you have. All you see is what the bank says you don't have. All you see is the pain in your body, okay? All you can do, all you're capable of doing is perceiving from the natural, and the natural only breeds fear and no power. There is no power in our flesh, no, not none. It is just dust. But the supernatural of capabilities that can come upon us happen when we accept Jesus Christ, the full death of self, and the full resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is where the power lives. That is how you can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I don't have to fight this battle. There's nothing I can do in this flesh anyway but trust and obey. Trust and obey. That's all we get to do. But it takes supernatural sight to do that. Do you remember when the man of God was in the mountains and they were surrounded by the enemies and God said, open up his eyes. And he was able to open up his supernatural eyes to see that there was more with them than it was of the enemy. When you have God in your life, there is always more on your side than it is the enemy that is against you. But you must live the supernatural life. And the only way to live the supernatural life is to trust God and obey him and do not be led by your own mind. Do not be led by your own sight, but walk the supernatural life of faith. We must live by faith and not by sight. Do we know what faith is? Faith is that supernatural ability to trust God is going to perform things that we have not yet seen. Where our trust is bigger, our trust is more solid than what we see. Our trust is greater than the fear that is against us. Our faith is our trust in God's ability. And here's, praise God. Fear comes from you trusting in your own ability. That's why you get scared. I can't do this. That's where fear comes from. Trust in your own resources, your own ability, your own strength. Faith is trust in God's resources, God's ability, and God's strength. Amen? Daniel chapter 2. The scene is set up where the king had a dream, and no one could interpret this dream for him, and he was very angry. Okay? Verse 12 says, verse 10 says, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. But don't we know better than that? There is a God that dwells with flesh. The God, our God, if we put our trust in him. Amen? So then Daniel was set up for an appointed time. Say this with me. I have been set up for an appointed time. That's why you are here. You are not an accident. You are here for different points of your life for God to get glory. Different points of your life for God to get glory out of your story. Whether it's a diagnosis, whether it's a miracle, whether it's an answered prayer, whatever it is, okay? So let's look, that's how we can count it all joy. We can count it all joy. Our trials and our tribulations, we can count them all joy because what they are set encounters, set appointed times for God to receive glory from our story. Do we understand that? But if you don't have faith, you will crumble in your day of adversity. All the day of adversity is a commercial for the rest of the world to see what's going on with you, and it puts your God on stage. Do we understand that's what trouble is supposed to do in the life of a believer? to put your God on display. It's not what I can do. You can tell people, I don't have the answer, but my God. And that's the same thing that Daniel was able to tell the king. My God will tell you your dream. So let's go to Daniel's prayer. Daniel chapter 2, verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. That's what we should be able to do even in advance. When we are going through things and the world is seeing us suffer, your family, the unbelief. See, why do Christians have to suffer? Because of the unbelievers in your family. Because of the unbelievers at your job. Because of the unbelievers in your neighborhood. So that we could be put on display. Like, why are you going through that? I thought your God was so good. You go to church Sunday. You go to church Wednesday. You give those people your money. You know what they say about you. So that you can see with your own eyes God's deliverance. That's the same thing that happened with me over 5 years ago when my kidneys failed. There's a police officer that came to see me who had been through many wars, saw many people die, and he came into my room and looked at me in my hospital bed when I'm hooked up to machines. I don't know who's around me or what they're doing. And he said, Damien, when I looked at you, I knew you were a dead man and I would never see you again. I've seen a lot of people die. That was his testimony. But do you know what his testimony is today? That the God that you serve must be real. There must be something to this faith thing. There must be something to this God. Listen, look at your trouble. Trouble is just temporary, but the glory of God is always going to deliver you right on time because God's glory is on the line. We are the carriers of his testimony. We are the ones going around saying God is faithful and God delivers and God is true. And he is looking over his word to perform it. So that is why it's very important as you go through your trials and your tests that you're speaking the word. Because he's not looking to perform your grumblings. He's not looking to perform your unbelief. He's looking to perform his word. So are you speaking the word of God in the midst of your storm? Are you setting up the scene for your God? And that's exactly what they were able, what Moses was able to do at the Red Sea. Set up the scene for my God to do something. He said, be still. Be still. Don't move. Don't run. Don't build an altar. Don't do anything. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. And this trouble that's coming towards you, you will never see it again. These Egyptians that are coming towards you, you will never see them again. Only be still and see. But everything in you, as long as your flesh is active and alive, as long as you have not been feeding your spirit, man, and nurturing your faith, everything in you will want to run when trouble comes. So that is how you gauge your spirituality versus your natural self. When trouble comes, what is your instinct? Is your instinct fear and worry? Or is your instinct, okay, God, I understand. Why do we have such short-term memory? God has blessed us over and over, delivered us over and over and over. When are we just going to say, okay, God, for your glory, you've never failed me, no, not once. Many of you have been in the hospital. Many of you have been declared you should not be here. You've been through some things in your life where you feel like you should not be here. But your testimony today is, I'm still alive. My God is good. I've been through a divorce. I've lost children, lost my mother, lost my father, lost my house. They repossessed my car, but I'm still here. I don't know what I was going to eat sometimes. I didn't know what I was going to wear sometimes, but I'm still here. My God is faithful. And the only way that you can keep that kind of faith and determination alive is to kill this stuff. You have to kill the flesh. The flesh is where all fear takes root and wants you to run from the trouble. And what faith does is makes you chase trouble. Faith will make you chase the devil down and chase trouble down instead of being on the run. When are we going to say, you know what? I'm tired of running from this bully every day. I'm tired of losing sleep. I'm tired of my hair falling out. I'm tired of always worrying. I'm going to stand flat-footed. I'm going to declare the word of God over this situation, and I am not going to run. All I'm going to do is get a front row seat and stand still and watch the salvation of God happen, because he is mine. I am accountable to him. I have declared that I am born again. I have declared that I will trust in him, and he will not fail me. The only way that I can talk like this, the only way that I can know this, is you must live the supernatural life that brings death to your flesh. That's where all worry is. That's where the enemy parades around and picks on you and messes with your mind. He can only access this flesh. But your spirit needs to remain plugged in. Abide in the vine. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So, we didn't even get through Daniel's prayer, but read it sometime. Daniel chapter 2, verse 19, he just began to give thanks to God that gave him understanding and gave him wisdom. Listen, we must live. Say this with me. I must live the supernatural life. You're not like everybody else. You're not like everybody else. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. God is on your side. He protects you with his right arm. He puts you in the shadow of his wings. There's places that he can hide you from the storms. There's places that he can hide you. Many times we should have lost our lives. There are times, and God will reveal this to us in his time, maybe in heaven. Damien, do you know that on this such and such date, that there was a car that almost hit you, but you didn't even see it as you went through that light? Do you not know that this was hereditary to you, but I let it pass over you? We don't know how much praise God is worth sometimes, because we don't see everything that he does for us. Let us put our full hope and trust in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Okay. The name of the message is this: trust and obey. We must read the word of God. We must know the word of God. We must trust the word of God and obey the word of God. Because, oh, wow. Because the word of God always obeys God. Did you know that? Let there be light. And what happened? There was light. The word of God always obeys God. So when we learn the word of God, when we speak the word of God, when we live the word of God, it's a guarantee. Because he said, my word will never, how many times? Never return void back to me. Build your whole life on the word of God. Because storms will come. Tribulation will come. But those of us that have built our house upon the rock, once the storm is over, will still be there. Praising God, no matter what the size of the house is, there'll still be praise going forth from that house. Amen? Amen? We must stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and that comes from trusting and obeying. Stand still and see. I'm going to say it one more time. Stand still and see. Okay? So, the scene is set in Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar has made a image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, which would translate today into, I saw it somewhere, I don't know if it said 90 feet or higher, but it was very big, okay? This big image, okay? And then there was a decree. Let's pick it up in verse 4. Well, actually verse 3, okay? Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the ruler of the provinces say, that's a lot of people. Lot of witnesses, okay, were gathered together into the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, somebody stepped forward, a herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever falleth not down in worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So here the king had made a decree. He had set up a god for them to worship. He said that they must fall down and worship it. And fear was the motivator. Because if you do not do it, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And we must understand that that is the devil's tactic. That's why his word is so important to know. I have not given you the spirit of fear. So that allows me to just stand still and see God's salvation, because fear is not in me. I do not have the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, and that's all I have. That's what you need to say to yourself when you feel fear coming on. You know what? I'm not afraid. All that's in me is power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? There are times that police officers encounter little old ladies, okay, that we won't mess with. Do you want to know why? Because they're not afraid. They are not afraid. Have you ever encountered someone who wasn't that big in stature, but they didn't have any fear in them at all? You might call it stupidity. You might call it what you want, but they're just not afraid, okay? Verse 7, therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, how many people heard it? When all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that how many men? Every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet and the rest of the music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worship, but he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews. Listen, saints of God, you are not like everybody else. You are certain people, certain Jews that have been engrafted in. You are certain children of God, certain people that cannot be messed with, certain people with supernatural power. You are the certain people. Whom thou hast set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So let's talk about this. They had been elevated. After Daniel had predicted the dream or told them what the king was, he was elevated to a higher position and was able to pull these three with him. Okay, so if they had been in the flesh, like some of us get, okay, here they are in this new position, all right, and everybody's watching them, all right, and let's say we're at work and God gives us a word for somebody, and maybe it's even the boss or whoever it might be, and says, I need you to speak this to them. What do we say if we're in the flesh? I just got this job. Lord, you just blessed me with it. I can't go saying that to them. Trust and obey. Anytime, listen. We saints of God need to be executioners. Executioners of self. Anytime God tells us to say, to do something, and something rises up in us that opposes what God is saying do, I would rather beat myself than have God touch me. We have to quickly. That's why we carry the cross. So as soon as something opposes, exalts itself above the knowledge of God, we're able to cast down those imaginations, execute them, and make them obey. It is better to trust and obey. The word of God says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?" And here's the thing. Oh, my goodness. Listen, here's the thing about what they did. They stood out like a sore thumb. Everybody else bowed down. But what did they do? In the face of threat, in the face of certain death, in the face of a fiery furnace, here are three people standing up when everybody, the kings, the provinces, the sheriffs, the governors, everybody with authority in the land is kneeling, and here are these three Jews still standing. Are you still standing when everybody else is bowing down in fear? Are you still standing when the enemy is making threats against your household, threats against your body? Are you still standing in faith and saying, "You know what? I'm going to be still and see the salvation of my God." Oh, well, this disease can kill you. Or this will make you lose your house. Or you could lose your job if you do this. Okay. We've got to come to the understanding, like, Satan, you know what? When I needed a job and didn't have a job, God blessed me with this one. When I needed a house and didn't have a house, God blessed me with this one. When they said I was going to die of this years ago, I'm still here and God blessed me with life. I would rather trust God and obey. I would rather stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because listen, we can't help ourselves. So if we can't help ourselves, then why would we surrender to the enemy? Let's trust our God and obey. Amen? So, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." But how do they know that? They never had this threat. This threat isn't recorded anywhere because they didn't have a short-term memory. The wonderful thing about the Old Testament and the Jews, they would constantly rehearse the word of God, constantly rehearse the miracles of God. So although maybe they've never heard of anybody being thrown in a fiery furnace, they've heard about the Egyptians chasing the people of God into the Red Sea. They've heard about the deliverance of God many, many times. That is why it is so good that we rehearse what God has done for us instead of allowing the enemy to bring this new problem. When the enemy brings this new problem that has no solution, you just say, "Wait right there. Get your big sack of testimonies and throw them down on the table. The God that did this, 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 the God that did this is going to take care of that. I will not bow." That's all the devil wants from us, is for us to bow. When the Spirit of God led Jesus Christ into the wilderness to be tested of the enemy, what did he want more than anything? For Jesus to bow. That's all the devil wants from you, is for you to bow. And his strongest method, his strongest tactic is fear. If you don't do it, you're going to lose this. Because how do we know that? John 10:10. He is the one that takes from us. He is the thief that comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But we know that Jesus Christ, whom we have, has come that we might have what? Life, and life more what? Abundantly. Amen? So we will not bow down. Let's go to Daniel chapter, and we're almost done. Wow, nobody said amen or got excited. That's all right. We are going to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And yes, we've heard these stories more times than we can count, but a new revelation can be revealed with each telling. Amen? With each telling. So, we're in chapter 6, and here is the scene that is being set. Some evil men desired to find reason to persecute Daniel. And the only thing that they could find on him, since he was a perfect and an upright man, the only thing that they could find on him was that he was a praying man. I hope that's our testimony. that the only thing that people can find on us is, well, he's always praying. That's all I know about him. I don't never see him over here, never see him doing this, but I can tell you one thing about him. He's going to pray. So let's try to trip him up in that. So a decree went out in the land that anybody that is caught praying for 30 days verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the council. Look at all this. The stage is always being set. Do you see all these people that are always around when the enemy is trying to attack? The same people that are always around when the enemy is trying to attack you are going to be the same people that are first front row seats for the deliverance of God in your life, okay? Have consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, when they told King Darius, when they finally caught him praying, and they told King Darius who it was, it troubled King Darius. Because King Darius knew that Daniel was a good man and knew that Daniel served the true and the living God. So he checked on him. He had to obey the decree. He did make it. He did get thrown into the lion's den. The three Hebrew boys did get thrown into the fiery furnace. But what was their testimony? The things that had them bound, the person that had them through in there, were also the same people that were able to see the deliverance of their God, and not only able to see the deliverance of their God, but he saw their God inside the fire with them, didn't he? That's what you must understand, okay? The Hebrew boys were not screaming in the fire. They were not kicking around in the fire. They're not saying, no, no, God, where are you in the fire? They were walking around loosed in the fire. You know why? That's the supernatural life. So let's take a hint from them. Let's learn a lesson from them that while we are going through our fiery furnaces, that we still carry ourselves like we have a God with us, that we still walk around loose, that we still have some joy and we still have some peace because God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We must learn that we must learn how to have a wonderful, loving relationship with God, not during just the good times, but when things are hard, when the fire is hot. Because people are watching. We are on display, especially when you say you're a believer. People look at you from the world, and they see your trouble, and they want to see what's going to happen to you. Some of them want us to fall, but that's not going to happen, is it? Our God is always going to deliver us. So the same God that delivered the three Hebrew boys from the fiery furnace also shut up the mouth of the devourer. Shut up the mouth of the lions. And we understand that the Bible also calls the enemy a devourer. That's what he walks around doing, trying to devour the saints of God with issues, with trouble, with circumstances. But since we do not have the spirit of fear on the inside of us, and fear can only manifest itself in the flesh and in the carnal mind, what do we then do? Do we harbor the fear? Because if we live with the fear, even natural science tells us that stress kills us. Fear kills us. So we cannot, and that is the evidence, that is the side effect of an attack of the devil. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is the ministry of fear in our bodies. God has not given us fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. And the only way to walk in that is supernaturally, by being still, by seeing the salvation of the Lord, and by making sure that we are encouraged in the things of God. And this, saints of God, it is so important. It is so important that you study. Studying the Word of God, or reading books that have lots of references to the Word of God from godly authors, is so important. It's the only way that you can stand. You need wisdom. The Word of God says, my people are destroyed. Why? Because of a lack of knowledge. Wisdom is the principal thing. Listen, let's not be lazy, okay? We've got a library right over there where you're free to go and browse and say, Holy Spirit, lead me to a book. Is there something that I can read to encourage my faith? Because listen, there is an author out there that has been through a similar struggle that you have and has a testimony about it that can encourage you. But I'm not a reader. I'm not a reader. Don't give the enemy that testimony in your life. Because when you say, I'm not a reader, what you say is, I'm not willing to get more knowledge that way. Okay? Pray by the Spirit. Lord, awaken, and this is what God did for me. Awaken a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and truth through your word. Amen? Let's stand to our feet at this time.